You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Well, I'm going to talk to you today about how it takes a team. It takes a team. And just like in any great sports victory, whatever team you go for and you go to the finals and you see them there and they win a great victory, there are a lot of people that are involved to make that happen. They're the coaches, they're the players, they're the events team, there's the media team, there's security, there's a whole pile of people that are able to put on a sports event for you to enjoy and see your team win because there is a team. It takes a team. And today I want to talk about how God includes us in his team for miracles. John 6, I want to tell you the story about how Jesus feeds the 5,000. John 6, verse 1 says, "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 'It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.' Another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, spoke up. 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have all the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world.'" This is a supernatural miracle. This is an incredible miracle that science cannot explain. You cannot feed 5,000 men plus children plus women with such a little lunch, with little pieces of bread and fish. You cannot. It is scientifically impossible. Yet God comes down and demonstrates an incredible miracle of multiplying the food. And Jesus gets a team involved to make it happen. See, Jesus actually doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And he could have just gone, dun, 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 and then suddenly nasi lemak is appearing in everybody's hand, maybe from the future, comes in, and then they eat it, and everyone's like, "Wow, Jesus, you're amazing," and it is right there for us. But instead, he uses a team to work together to pull off a nature-defying miracle that we are still talking about 2,000 years later. It takes a team. Let's look at this team. The first one is Jesus, of course. He's the carrier. He's the carrier of our needs, of our hearts. He was the one who saw the burden, saw the people, and made it his problem. He could have come in and gone, "Well, I'm the itinerant minister. I don't get involved in logistics. And if people want to eat, why didn't they eat before they came to the service? And also, why don't they just go? Let's take a break and come back in a few hours. They can go sort themselves out and come." No, he saw that they were hungry and he took the responsibility on himself. He wasn't too busy. He wasn't too high. But he saw that they were hungry, and he empowered a team to help meet the need. I love how he made time, and he made it his problem. See, Jesus cares for every need. He cares for every need that you have. He cared so much for your need that he sent Kingdom City to your city. He cared so much that you found this link online. He cared so much he put you in that family, in that business, next to that neighbor, whoever led you to the Lord. He knows your needs and he meets it where we're at, meets us where we're at. Philippians 4:19 says, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the anointed one, Jesus Christ. If it's Jesus's heart to meet people's needs, so it should be ours. We should also carry that heart, not see a problem and go, well, I hope they fix it. Well, I came into church today and there was no seats. Where are the ushers? Why didn't they put a seat out for me? You know, like, it is our responsibility to go, oh, can I help? Oh, you have a need. Let me help you where you're at. Jesus carries the heart. He carries people's needs with him, and so should we. The second person in this story or in this team is Philip, who's the realist. He's real. So real, he can't see beyond the natural. See, Jesus asks Philip, where should we buy the bread? He did not say to Philip, how should we buy the bread? He said, where should we buy the bread? And Philip answers the wrong way. Philip starts to give him a statistical report of numbers and facts. Well, it would take 6 months to be able to feed, and they'd only have a bite. And he comes with numbers. He comes in the natural. He sees the problem and does not provide any solution to Jesus. Philip, a few chapters earlier, was with Jesus when he turned water into wine. Surely if Jesus could turn water into wine, he could provide food. He could do something about it. Not only that, if you read in John, in the first bit of this chapter, it says a great crowd gathered because they saw and they heard the great miracles of healing that Jesus was doing. So here's a man that's healing physical bodies, that's turning water into wine. Philip, hello, surely you would have remembered all this. And instead of answering Jesus with, well, it would take this long, he should have said, where, Lord? Where can we provide food? Well, that's from you, Lord, because you provide all our needs. That was the right way to answer. But he didn't do it that way. He forgot. How many times do we forget about the miracles that God has done for us, that he's provided for us, that he's come through for us, and we're faced with this impossible situation, and we forgot what he did last week, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. We forget. But thank God that Philip was on a team, that he was surrounded by people like Andrew, who was listening to what was going on and jumped in to help with a solution. We need to be in a community, in a group of people that will remind us, that will connect with us, that will give us a solution, that will go, hey, here's a way that we can get through this, that will stir our faith. Because when we're by ourselves and we do Christian life by ourselves, we go silo, we can go a little bit weird and strange. And then when we're faced with an impossible situation, we forget what God has done. So important to be in a connect group. It's so important to be surrounded by people. We cannot do life without other people in our lives. You know, there's a great testimony I heard. Every week we have incredible testimonies from our connect groups. But this one was about a lady, and she was facing an impossible situation. An MRI showed that she had two spots that were highly likely to be cancer. And through that whole process that this member went through, they had their connect pray for them. They quote saying this is them. When my connect leader prayed for me, I felt something shift twice in my abdomen. And I felt the flow of healing. When biopsy result came back, results were negative. No cancer. The specialist was very surprised that the two highly suspicious spots identified in the MRI provided to be negative in the biopsy, as he kept referring back and forth to compare the MRI images versus the biopsy results as he explained the results to me. Incredible miracle, but that took a team. that took a team surrounding the connect person to stand in faith and play a part. Come on, God can do it again. Come on, there's been testimonies of people healing. Come on, we'll pray for you. Come on, we'll lay hands on you. We'll declare, we'll stir up your faith for you. An impossible situation was turned around with a miracle, but it took a team. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So sad when we hear stories of people going through crisis and they're not involved in a connect group. They're not involved in a community and they have to go through these things themselves. Marriages that can get help, didn't get help, sorry, and end up separating. There's no one around to encourage, to help, to advise. We got to be on a team. We got to be connected as family. And thank God that the story didn't stop with Philip. That Philip's lack of faith, lack of intelligence, because he forgot that there was an unseen resources, unseen resources were standing right next to him. Thank God it didn't stop with Philip. But Andrew was around. Andrew, the connector. Andrew, who introduced the little boy to Jesus. Did you know that Andrew also introduced Peter to Jesus? Andrew was an incredible connector, linking people together, linking people to Jesus. See, Jesus didn't ask Andrew where to buy food. Andrew was just around in the team and he heard Jesus's cry. And he's looking and observing and seeing what he could do to help with this. And that's when he finds this boy and brings this boy who plays an incredible, significant part in this miracle. So many of you have been connected to Jesus through someone like an Andrew. They brought you to church. They introduced you to Christ. They took you to connect. They had a coffee with you. They listened to you. They prayed with you at the front. There are Andrews, so many Andrews in our church that are connectors that are getting your hand and bringing you to Jesus. But it takes a team. It's a story of an auntie who brought a young boy, not her boy, someone she knew, to church. And this boy didn't speak very much English. And he went into our kids' ministry and he heard the gospel, the message. He felt God. And the kids' team said it was like the Holy Spirit translated to him the presence of God. So he opens his heart up to the Lord. He goes home to his unsaved parents who don't know the Lord and they are shocked at the transformation of their son over a week. So much so, they decide to come to church to see what has happened. They come to church and they get saved. Great testimony, but it took a team. It took the auntie going out of her way to go and invite a little boy to church. It took the kids team to come early, set up, get the place ready for the boy. It took the prayer team who come in early on Sundays and pray in our kids' facilities and pray that the Holy Spirit will talk to the children in a way that they understand as well. Then it took the boy who went home and invited his parents to church. Then the parents come to church, and then it takes the usher team to find them a seat. It takes the worship team to let them feel the presence of God. Then it takes the sermon. It's like a whole team for a miracle of salvation. Philippians 2:3 says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first. And view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Everybody on that team that was involved in that salvation miracle all had put somebody's concerns above their own. Someone else's interests instead of, they all had helped in that miracle. It takes a team. The next one is the boy, the supplier. This boy gives what he has. You know, the type of lunch that he has, commentators say, showed that he was from a very poor family. See, barley was a lot cheaper than wheat. And barley was used to feed the animals. So the fact that the boy had barley loaves showed that his family probably couldn't afford wheat or normal bread in the day. It was a very poor version of bread. So he's giving from his little, not from his abundance. He's giving the little that he has to Jesus when Jesus asks for it. Not only that, this little boy doesn't even get counted in the 5,000 attendance number that is given in the Bible. Only men were counted, not children or women. So he gets no recognition. He doesn't even get counted in 5,001. They don't even bother to include him in that. And yet he resources all of them this tiny little miracle. He's probably one of the poorest in the whole place, but he was willing to give it to Jesus. He wasn't after credit. He was just after making a difference, after serving. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." We have a prayer team that you probably don't know or have never seen before who come in early and pray. In fact, right now, they're praying for me. They're praying for you. They're praying in this auditorium. They're praying in the kids. They're praying in the foyer right now as I speak. They come in and they pray for the seat you're sitting in right now. They pray for the floor in the front when you come for requests and when you come to pray that you will feel God, that you will get your miracle. They pray for your family. They pray through the week for you. They are unseen, not recognized. You will never hear them blasting out the prayer requests that they do. But right now, their WhatsApp chats are going real fast as they're praying and sensing what is going on in the atmosphere for you. They're doing battle for you. They're putting, they're sacrificing, they're not neglecting, and they're doing good. They're sharing what they have for us. It takes a team. So when you feel the presence of God, when you get your miracle, when your family or friends get saved or get touched by God, there's been a team that have gotten up early and are praying for that to happen. The next one is the disciples. The disciples, they were like the service team. Getting 5,000 people to sit down with no mics, no PA system, no LED screen, couldn't even put it on the screen. Like, that is a logistics nightmare. I couldn't imagine what was going on at that moment. And so they had to, 12 of them, get them all seated with aisles in the way. Can we make an aisle? Because they had to walk through to distribute the food. It wasn't like the food was going to appear. Like, they had to hand it out. So they have to do aisles. They have to do groups. It has to be organized. It probably took a while to do that. Then they had to go to Jesus. And then Jesus gave them the bread and the fish. And then they had to go and distribute it to everyone. We struggle distributing communion cups when there's a few thousand of you. I won't even want to know what it's like to distribute fish and bread to 5,000 men plus women and children, so it could be 20,000, with no napkins, no plastic handbag. They would have gotten dirty and messy with their hands as they're handing this out to everybody. Then, after they've served all the people, then Jesus says, "Okay, clean up." Huh? Now they're part of the pack-up team. Then they gotta go because Jesus doesn't like pollution and he doesn't like leaving trash on the floor, and nor should we. So they had to pick up everything from the field, 12 baskets, one for each disciple, there you go. Then probably they were allowed to eat. So they were part of the miracle. God empowered them to be part of the miracle. Our service teams in this place, we love you, we value you, we thank you. That you come in early, you help us set up. Even now, you're getting chairs out for people that are coming in, and you're arranging things and making sure that everybody is comfortable and they can feel the house of God. It takes a team. I love hearing, you know, testimonies of our ushers laying hands on people and helping them and ministering to them, you know, in different places, in different areas around us. It just doesn't all happen up here on the stage. I heard an incredible story from Billy Graham. Billy Graham Crusades. They were telling a story of when they were in Melbourne, Australia in 1959 for one of the greatest crusades that Billy Graham did in Australia. And while they were there, Billy Graham was giving the altar call, and there was a man standing at the back listening, and there was an usher standing near him, and he turned to the usher and he said, "Will God really forgive all sins?" And the usher looked at him and said, "Yes. Yes, God can forgive all sins." See, the usher at that moment could have gone, "Hey, I'm an usher, dude. I just show people to their seats, stay to my lane, stick to my lane," you know, or anything. But he goes, "No. Well, would you like to go?" And so the guy looks at him, hands him a package, and goes down the front. As he's going down the front, the usher opens up the package, and there was a revolver fully loaded. There was explosives and detonators in the package. The man goes up the front and gives his heart to the Lord. He comes and finds the usher later. I was just like, "I got your package." This usher potentially rescued a lot of people's lives that day, and no one will know. Not only that, this criminal, this guy, went back home and the next night brought 9 of his other criminal mates to the meeting, and they all got saved. Incredible miracle. But that took a team, an events team to get Billy Graham to Australia, the worship team to lead through worship, Billy Graham to preach, the ushers to show people to their seats, the usher that sat next to this man, that stood next to this man, the invite that got this man to the place, the media, the brochures that were going out. It took an entire team for that miracle of 10 gangsters getting saved. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." What gift do you have that you can serve others with? What is it you're holding on to that you have that you can bless, that you can help? Whether it's ushering or joining a connect group or opening up your home for a connect. You don't have to be holy to have your home open up for us to have connects in, right? You just have to have a door and a roof, you know, and maybe some walls. But even that. Or if you have a cafe or a business owner, open up your cafe. We'll have a connects at the cafe. We'll love that. I'll come to that. But what is it that you have that you can share? What is it? Then lastly, it was the people, the congregation. These people are the ones who benefited from the miracle. As a result, they saw the glory of Jesus. They started to believe he was someone to follow. They were the people that experienced the whole team working hard together to experience the glory of Jesus and go, "You know what? This is there's something different about this man. I can follow Jesus." How many of us in here have come to Christ, have experienced healing, have gotten encouraged, have felt God because a carrier or someone part of Kingdom City has come up and been part of our miracle? It takes a team. It takes a team. Matthew 5 says, "Your lives light up the world. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who wouldn't light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that your commendable works, will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven." Your commendable works shine like light. It's the works, the serving, the being involved in the connects, all that stuff is what shines, is your light that is shining that will draw people, not to you, but to Jesus. It takes a team. Are you on the team? Because at the end of your life, Jesus will ask you, "Hey, I gave you this life, this time, put you in this church, with this family, with this. Well, what did you do with your commendable works? Did they shine brightly?" You know, I don't want anybody here to feel guilty and leave feeling condemned or feel like we're pushy or, you know, accusing you. That's not our heart at all. But We are just sharing with you what Jesus wants you to be a part of, someone's miracle. Because some of you may never preach. You may never worship lead in front of thousands of people. You may never write books. But your reward in heaven will be that of the greatest. For you were part of endless miracles. When you set out the chairs, when you prayed before the service, when you assisted in the kids' ministry, when you came on a Friday night with the teenagers, when you rolled out cables, when you served coffee, when you stood at the info desk, you will be part of people's miracles. And the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful. And you'll be like, what? I didn't even actually lead anybody to the Lord. Oh, no. You were a part of all these people's salvations, all these people's miracles. You were a part of it. Jesus is inviting us to be on his team, to outwork miracles. One of the favorite, most enjoyable things for me to do is to be part of someone's miracle. When I see the joy on their face when they leave the altar call, or when I'm at a restaurant and someone comes up and says, hi, I'm from Kingdom City. Our family's life has changed. Our connect leader helped us when we were in a hard time. My heart, so much joy. It brings us joy when we get to be part of people's miracles. And someone was a part of our miracle. There were a lot of people involved in me standing up here today. From my parents, to people praying for me, to my Sunday school teachers, to my youth pastor, to my connect leaders. People were all involved in me being here. Would you be part of someone else's miracle? Would you join the team? Join the team. Maybe your altar call response today is to just join a connect group. Maybe that, just join, just you're a Philip. Just come on in. Just get into a connect group. Maybe some of you need to go back to connect group. Maybe you haven't gone for a while. You've gotten too busy. We can't afford not to go to connects. It should be a priority for us because it does good for us. And if you're like, oh, well, I'm so busy, well, join Pastor Mark's online connect. He meets, you can join him. Or join, if you're a mother and you're like, I can't do it, I do a mother's connect. Join me, mothers. You know, online, we have connects happening all over the world in all different time zones. Right here in KL, we have connects happening all week, everywhere. Join one. Don't be silo. Don't let the miracle stop with you. But thank God that Philip was in a team, in a community that helped him, so he was still part of the miracle. In fact, it's interesting that his unintelligent reply did not disqualify him from still being part of the miracle, because he was in a team, in a community of people. So maybe that's your response, or maybe your response is to sign up for care. You go to Connects, but you don't really serve. Come join our carrier team. We have so many ministries and different types with different giftings required, and we would love to help you on the journey of fitting you into the best place that works for you and that works for Kingdom City. We'd love for you to be part of that. And if you're like, I don't have much, you can pray. If you don't have any, you say, well, I'm not a gifted, you know, singer, or you don't have to be that. You can pray. We need prayer team all the time. You can join the kids, the youth team. We need prayers for the youth on Friday nights. You can join that as well. There's so many different things that you can be involved in. Even online, you can join our online campus. Don't be a spectator. Just join the online campus and get involved at being a carrier on our campus there. Why don't we stand in this place? This is part of discipleship. It's just leading you to that next step. And as I was praying, I felt that there were people here. And the reason why you don't get involved, don't attend a connect, or don't be part of our carriers is because you're hurt. You're hurt. You served at some point, maybe in a past church or maybe in this church. And someone said something to you, someone crushed you, someone made you feel betrayed, or you felt burnt out. Maybe it was too much for you. And so you're just like, I just can't do it. I just, It's just my time to receive. It's just my time to receive. That's okay to have a season of receiving, and absolutely agree with you. And we don't expect people to serve nonstop 7 days a week. No. But there has to come a point where it's time to share as well. And we want to pray today that your hurt of whatever happened, that you'll get healing today, that you'll leave this place completely healed and whole, and you will feel like you are not being forced to do anything, but there'll be a healing in the heart, in the soul, that will set you free. Or maybe it's fear. Oh, I'm so afraid. I'm afraid I'll fail. I'm afraid I'll sign up for Connects and I just can't go. Well, we're going to pray that fear off you and that you'll have the boldness to be able to go. Maybe you're fearful of strangers. Maybe you're fearful of going to someone's place you don't know or something. We will find the best Connect group for you. Don't worry about that. Maybe you're afraid that you'll sign up for a team and then you'll fail in the team and they'll think, what is this crazy person or something like that. We will pray that you leave today without that fear, without that nagging voice that is affecting you from stepping into your next season. And if you're standing here today and you're like, I'm so annoyed with her. Why is she doing this? Why is she pushing us? You know, it's just so nagging. There's something going on here. If I'm in a home eating the food, enjoying it, and my mother or father says to me, hey, can you take the plates and put it down? And I'm like, why are they asking me this? What's their problem? They're being pushy. That's not my mother or father's issue. That's my issue. Why am I reacting? Why am I annoyed? There's something going on there that's a little bit maybe not right. And maybe we can tell whatever that nagging irritation is in you to leave you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because there is blessing and there is favor when you're a part of someone's miracle. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us right now? Right now, would you bring to our mind if there is fear, if there is hurt, if there's a little bit of irritation in us right now, anxiety, whatever it is right now, would you just show us what that is, Lord? That we can be a free people. You know, I just feel that there's people in this place and you were involved in ministry once before, maybe incredible ministries, but you've come here and you've pulled back. And the Lord is like, I didn't bring you to this place to pull back. I brought you in this place to give what is on your life. And you may think that you're old and that's past your due date. Mm-mm. You're not past your due date at all. You have wisdom in you that needs to be shared, that needs to be experienced. And the devil is just trying to steal, kill, and destroy this last season of your life, this runway in your life. He's trying to steal, kill, and we break that strategy right now.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.